Find the gavel?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Good evening, everyone. Let the record indicate it is now 5:02 p.m. and the City Council Finance Committee is called to order. First order of business is acceptance of the minutes from committee meeting on July 15th.
I move favorable action. Seconded.
We have a motion for favorable. We have a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Thank you. Committee meeting on August 19th. Need approval of the minutes?
I move favorable action. Seconded.
We have a motion for favorable. We have a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. The committee minutes for September 4th?
I move favorable action.
We have a motion for favorable. We have a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. The committee meeting minutes on September 16th?
I move favorable action. Seconded.
We have a motion for favorable. We have a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. PCR 147-19. We'll start off with bid 2019-172, found on page one. Christy?
Good evening. Department's requesting to increase the cap on this bid in the amount of $7,000. It doesn't expire until March 20 of 2020.
Okay, first we need to do, Christy, I'm going to ask you to just get closer to that mic. I think you got the horse thing.
Yeah,
me too. But we're going to have to assign this a PCR 150-19. And you're looking to increase this by $7,000.
Yes.
And Christy, when was the last purchase made?
It was last fiscal year. We made our last purchases in June.
Your last purchase was in June?
Yes.
Okay. So when you say that you have nearly expended that amount, you're talking about the amount of $8,400 between March 21st and June 30th?
Yes, we spent $6,755.94. We have a remaining cap of $1,644.06. Highway has actually just made a sizable request of about $5,200 of material that they need to make repairs.
And what do you have for inventory at this time?
I don't think we have anything in inventory.
I'm sorry?
I don't think we have anything. They've been repairing flush grates and catch basins.
And what do you have encumbered right now?
Nothing.
Nothing.
No.
So you haven't ordered anything since July 1st?
No. Budget for this was $13,400, which is still in the budget code. We haven't spent anything.
Okay. And this contract period will still run from March 21st through 2019 through 2020. You're simply looking to increase this amount by $7,000 for a total of $15,400, right?
Yes.
Okay. Any questions from members of the committee? Any questions from members of the council? Oh, faithful member of the council that is present. any questions from members of the public? Hearing none, I need a motion.
Move for favorable action. Seconded.
We have a motion for favorable. We have a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Thank you. 2020-116, found on page 8. Oh, by the way, there was appropriate monies in that line item, as there are in the others. If my colleagues would like to look at the numbers for each item, they're all right here. Okay, Major, go ahead.
Lori Michaelides on behalf of the police department. In August, the police department went out to bid for miscellaneous police gear and equipment. The bid request was for 17 issued equipment items. Six vendors bid on the equipment listed, and we are recommending that the bid be awarded to Jurek Brothers out of Greenfield, Massachusetts, and Galls out of Lexington, Kentucky. The police department is requesting the bid be split to ensure that we are able to purchase all the listed items from the bid request, as neither company independently provides all 17 items. If approved, funding not to exceed $14,000 would come from Budget Code 30-260. Items are purchased on an as-needed basis and no inventory is maintained by the police department.
Okay, thank you, Major. Major, you've been in this position now for a fair amount of time. And my first question is, why is this just coming to us now for a contract that was expiring on October 25th? And you're not alone this evening. As a matter of fact, you're not alone for many of our council meetings where the departments continue to come before us and not adhere to that city ordinance of 60 days prior to the bid. So I'm certainly going to listen to a reason as to why this is coming to us so late. I mean, it's not even close. So what is this reason why this didn't come to us sooner?
Well, I certainly apologize on behalf of the police department. We certainly bear some blame. If you look at my letter, it's dated September 4th. It's also dated received by purchasing September 4th. So I believe this should have made the docket last time. For whatever reason, it did not. I don't have an answer for why it didn't. I submitted 3 items last time, and only 2 made the docket. This should have been with the badges and the other equipment.
Okay, well, the earliest it could have gotten to us, if you submitted this letter on September 4th, yeah, the soonest that it could have come to us is on the September 16th meeting.
Right.
Which
was still behind, but...
Still behind.
I think we were still in the process of merging the spreadsheets, which we do have merged now, but there were some anomalies. Things were on different lists. Different people had, you know, this, because it was uniforms to new recruits, our professional standards division took care of this. It wasn't on the master list.
So is this list that you have now that's been purged, is this complete?
Yes.
So from this day forward, we should not have any more bids coming to us late?
There are a couple items on that I submitted last week for the next docket that are falling under the same issue, but after that, no, there will no longer be any issues.
You do present an interesting point where you submitted it to purchasing on September 4th and we're not getting it till a month later.
I do believe they're short-staffed. They're trying their best, but it's been difficult.
Yeah, I know. I'm hearing, you know, all the departments are short-staffed. I don't know what the departments are going to do as far as they're being short-staffed. What I do know is that we have city ordinances that we're supposed to be enforcing. And when we approve something like this, we need a reason to exempt, if you will, a department for not coming before us. I don't know what to tell you about shorthanded. I'll turn it over to my colleagues. I want to hear what you guys got to say. Councilman McAllister.
Thank you. Good evening, Major. The majority of this is going to be for new officers.
That's correct.
That coming in. Is that one of the reasons that it's kind of a bigger purchase, which...
Correct, yeah. So the last academy actually started July 1st, so purchases for those recruits may have been done back in May. That may be another reason that it slipped through. We won't be purchasing equipment for the next round of recruits until probably January or February. So that may have been part of the issue, that nobody even looked at when the bid expired, because we're kind of in the middle.
Kind of waiting on that. And this is... And then the other reason you detailed in here recommending 2 different vendors is because none of the vendors offer everything you have, so you have to split it to make sure that they have
That's
the correct
That's correct. Galls actually bid on everything, but 8 of their items, they did not bid on the items that we spec'd out. They have their own brand, which is they say is equivalent, but it's not what we spec'd out. So we would prefer to go to Jurek on the items that we actually spec'd out.
Thank you.
Councilman Hall.
Thank you, Chairman. This is mostly discussion on what the chairman brought up about the parts. I know that for the last, this necessarily doesn't have to do with this bid, but I think this is a good premise of moving forward. There's been a great conversation. I know that the chairman and this committee has definitely done what we can to get things at a timely fashion. I will say that I'm convinced that I've heard a lot of discussion, Mr. Chairman, I'm sure you have too, with the dynamics of thinking outside the box, re-looking at, because you know, you brought up something interesting, or two things were brought up interesting. One, the timely fashion that the bids are getting to us to follow the ordinance, but also the short staff. We can't deny that over the last couple of years, after many years of doing things the same way, departments and directors and chiefs and had to come up with creative ways and think outside the box, basically do more with less. And that's a learning experience. I can definitely tell you that that's an experience where you try to figure out how can we streamline where, and so there's got to be a few bumps along the way. With that, the positive that I've seen is if we just every month, every meeting, Mr. Chairman, if people came here and said, well, I'm late just because I'm late, or, you know, it was because of this, because of that. What I'm hearing is from the departments, quite a few department heads, is that there was discussion about a spreadsheet being created. There was actually some great discussion that you started, Mr. Chairman, when it came to the departments now sharing information, what works more diligently, what works better. Looking forward, referring to what the major was talking about, she put together, they transferred it all over, kind of in the discussion we were speaking of. I know Parks and Recreation had a discussion about it. I know Phil has reached out. We talked about it in the other departments. I know that the police and fire, now that they're getting their program together. So I certainly can, I agree with you, Mr. Chairman, that there's an ordinance that has to be met and honored. And you've been asking for it for 3 years. Completely understood. Get it. But at the same time, I also see where there's a lot of departments moving forward, and I feel confident that the major and the other departments, if this is the catch-up time, then that's fine. Moving forward, I do believe that there has to be a more of a tightening of, you know, meeting the timelines. As for 3 years, and I'll say this as this member of this committee. For the last 3 years, we have been saying, hey, 60 days before. But the flip side of that is I do see progress, and I do see improvement. I do see pro-action. Definitely in just making up something such as you said, I'm sorry, what was it? A spreadsheet?
A spreadsheet, yeah.
So that's very good. And, of course, there's multiple. You have to depend on purchasing, and purchasing is going. So that goes for all departments. So, Mr. Chairman, you said that you'd wait to see what we'd say. That's how I feel. So I'll be interested to hear all the department's input, but that's how I feel about this. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Councilman. To go to Councilman McAllister's point and his question on the bid, I see the same thing, so I don't have an objection. I mean, all the department heads know that we have not been very favorable with several vendors for the same item. In this particular case, there's no way around it because you have some bidders that, or in this case, you have one bidder just didn't bid multiple items, so I have no problem with that. Sometimes I appreciate getting a different spin on things from the people that I work with and the people that I serve with, and sometimes a different spin is a good thing. Sometimes I agree, and sometimes I don't agree. In this particular case, I think Councilman Howe has brought up a good point to support your point that the departments, or at least the police department, is looking to, or is in the process of purging these different bids, working on those different bids, trying to do everything you can to get up to speed as soon as possible. So what I'm hearing from my colleagues is, Chairman, have a little more patience. That's what I'm hearing here. And I respect those positions. So patience we'll have, but patience are running short.
Understood, sir.
Any further questions from members of the council? Any questions from members of the public? Hearing none, I need a motion.
Move for favorable action.
Seconded.
We have a motion for favorable. We have a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Thank you. Thank you, Major. Next item is 2020-123, found on page 13.
Public Works, excuse me, is requesting to award a contract for electrical maintenance and repair to AM Electric in the amount of $15,000. It would be 1 year from date of award. This is a new bid to the department, and therefore there is no previous contract.
Christy, reading on your, what I call your position paper, it says this is a new contract for the department and therefore there is no previous contract period. I know we have bought or approved building maintenance, service contracts, electrical stuff, etc. Why is this a new contract for your department?
The others that we have are different. We have one for supply specifically. We have another for the traffic lights. This one is for anything that goes wrong in the buildings.
This is for what?
Anything that goes wrong in the buildings, particularly, like we've had some high voltage issues that we couldn't correct, so we had to call someone in.
So this is for materials, not it's for labor?
It would be for both.
For both?
Yes.
And didn't we have an in-house person doing this stuff?
There is an electrician.
Sorry?
There is an electrician, yes.
So we still have one?
Yes.
So this will be in addition to that?
Yes.
And what I don't understand, and we had this conversation at a recent meeting, is this bid. So you're recommending one contract or one vendor, and you provided the list prices, you provided percentage off net price. But the department, your department, did not provide a list of the 20 most used pots that you have. Now, we know we've been doing this for a long time. We have an in-house electrician. We know that. We know what the electrician replaces, the pots that die, what breaks down, switches, et cetera, et cetera. But yet, the vendors were allowed to put together a list or asked to put together a list of the 20 replacement pots that they felt like putting on here and coming up with their discounts. So on these three different vendors, can you tell me any of these items, any of these pots on this list that appear on all three lists?
No, this was prior to that meeting that we had regarding the parts, and this bid had opened prior to that, which is why it came in the way it did. I don't know that there's anything that is exactly the same. I'm really not well-versed in electric.
Well, I spent a lot of time going through this list, and I don't come up with anything definitive on all three lists, like a switch, all three lists, so I know who's giving us the better deal. And I understand what you said, that this comes after the last meeting. Well, this shouldn't have occurred on the last meeting because we were very clear about the items that we were going to give to vendors so we could have a comparative list. And we don't have that. I have no clue who's got the better deal on pots because they don't have any idea what the other person is bidding. And we have some differences here with AM Electric in their hourly rates, and there's a difference because minimum hours charged per emergency call, A&M has a minimum of 4 hours, and Alpha has a minimum of 3 hours. So when I break those things down, I see some pretty big differences in some of these numbers with Alpha. But my big issue is I have no clue what's going on with the POTS, because we didn't send out what we were supposed to send out. We don't have anything to compare it to, and it's not what we're looking for. So, once again, let me hear what my colleagues have to say. I particularly am not going to be able to support this particular bid in this fashion, because it doesn't do what we need it to do. We need to compare competitive prices. We need to know who's giving us the best deal at the end of the day, and this doesn't do it. And the hourly rates don't seem to tally correctly in my mind. So, what do you guys think? Councilman McAllister.
Christy, do we have any, you said this is for repairs inside the buildings. Do we have any projects right now that can't be completed by our in-house electrician?
I'm not sure. This bid was requested by the building maintenance supervisor. He reviewed it. He reviewed the bid responses. This was his recommendation. I'm not an expert in electrical, so, but as far as, I'm sure Matt maybe could speak to that.
Matthew Salitro, Department of Public Works Director for the City of Warwick. So basically what this is we have a master electrician that works for the city, and as such, he does the day-to-day maintenance. We ran upon a situation where the entire DPW yard went down. The voltage was so high, so old, and for lack of a better term, pretty scary. He did not want to do anything except call National Grid and cut the services to the building. We do have an emergency generator, okay? So it was of my opinion and the building maintenance supervisor that we needed to get another company to come in. So the building maintenance supervisor and myself said we should put out a contract. I realize, and again, that we should have 20 of the same parts. We don't have the same parts in any of the buildings. So in order to alleviate doing a 3-3, okay, an emergency all the time, I'd like to know that I have somebody on call. Nick, master electrician, works for the city, does installation of most, 99% of everything. But if something goes down hard, the chillers in the rink, the pool, anything in DPW, I'd like to know that we at least know what the labor rates are. We at least know that we can call these people and they will respond. And that was the thought process with this.
That was one of my questions I had is so this is more for the larger projects, the emergency projects.
This is almost an emergency, like an emergency situation where we have something explode. Who do you call? I can call my in-house electrician, and then what? You know, so we always want to be prepared. So instead of writing an emergency authorization, we want to have this person. And we may still have to go above $15,000 and write an emergency, but at least we have the mechanism in which we can have a larger company who specializes in high voltage come in, give us an assessment, and say this is what it's going to cost, and we can do our due diligence from there.
And as you mentioned, some of the buildings is like the rink and the pool to generate income for the
correct
city, and also a major issues if the ice melts and
correct
costs. We've had that issue in the past.
Pretty comfortable after reviewing the rink and the pool. I mean, it's high voltage, but it's not bad. Sandy Lane, 925, where our division is, it looks like somebody kind of pieced it together. You know, it'll pass, but nobody, there's not a diagram of circuitry. There's not, you know, there's massive amounts of power going in and out of that building. So I wouldn't want to subject one of my employees to it, nor does he have the experience to deal with that kind of voltage?
He could also be away on vacation or something like that as well.
Yeah, so this is, like, in my opinion, was a more proactive approach than reactive at that time.
And to the chairman's point on the parts, it is difficult for us, and as Christy said, she's not an expert, neither am I, on the different parts and stuff like that, but just for more apples to apples, comparison is what I believe we're looking for on that. On the hourly rates here, that's just their policy, correct? The way that Energy Electric, they say that their emergency is minimum 4, and then Alpha minimum of 3. That's
correct.
That's the way they do
that's
it.
Their
so that's
company
not something
policy.
That,
yeah, yeah. And I would love, you know, again, like I stated in the last meeting, I'd love to say, okay, I got 20 parts in this building, but I'm not an electrician. I'm not very familiar with it at all. I would hope that, you know, collectively we can say, you know, if something goes down hard, he'll say it's, you know, $4,000 for this. I would immediately get on the phone and call up a couple electrical supply warehouses and say, how much does this thing cost? You know, are we getting raked over the coals? This, again, it's like a specialty all of its own, is this high electricity. And I'm not an electrician at all. So just for the record, I don't even like to wire anything.
Thank you.
Councilman Howe.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So now going on Councilman McAllister's points, you explained it very well, and I thank you for that. Now, let's just say, again, thinking out of the box, the city master electrician, would he be considered the supervisor? I know me as a homeowner, I know nothing about anything that I hire anyone to do, but I act like I do. Would the master electrician be the person, like, to supervise and make sure that the right parts and that he's getting the correct parts, or is that something where he says, go ahead and do it, and he goes to another job?
No, he would stay there. Like, when the DPW facility went down hard, we asked him to back away, get somebody in there with more experience, and we also have a building maintenance supervisor who's got quite a few years of experience now, and collectively, we would say, okay, you know, that breaker, how can you spend $1,500 for a breaker? I know from my experience, I bought a breaker for the Warwick Sewer Authority after the flood, and I want to say that was upwards of $18,000 to backfeed one of the buildings. So, yeah. I mean, I can order the stuff once I'm told, but that's not my bag either.
Right. I think the councilman brought up a great point that a lot of this stuff supports the revenue-generating side of things, the city side. I like your point that it's preventative, if you will.
Yeah.
It's preparing. And knowing that there's a little bit of oversight on it, it helps me feel good as well. Because now, as far as you said, one other thing you said is that the circuit breaker or the equipment that's at the building now, you said that it's every building has a different kind of setup. And again, I know nothing about electrical.
Every building, nothing is standard up to what today's codes are. So what we're going to be doing in our capital improvement plan moving forward is to have an assessment done of different buildings that are aged and that have been added on to make sure that we have redundancy, i.e. the generator will kick on automatically, things like that. But this was basically, in the short term, a situation came where we needed to get somebody immediately. So, and it happened to be on, I think, a Saturday or Sunday. So I'm like, all right, let's not have that again. Let's be able to get these guys in here, bring them to task, see what they can do, and then we'll at least have somebody on call. God forbid Nick's in Boston or whatever, and, you know, something goes down hard in a snowstorm. He's not getting back. My facility's down. I can't fuel up the trucks. I can't do anything. What do you do? So I'm trying to be a little bit more proactive than reactive.
So just one final question, if you don't mind. If we get a company that does this, do usually they require we have to purchase the supplies from them, or is it something that the city could 3-3 and then the hired company can, or how does that work? I'm sorry.
That I hadn't really given, to be honest with you, I hadn't given any consideration. If I was to do business, you know, say I was an electrician, I wouldn't want to use my parts. I'd be familiar with them, you know, and expecting that you're going to pay a markup. I don't think there's a contractor out there that's just going to do a slide through.
That's a good point. That's a good point.
That's all a pass through. You know, everybody is entitled to make a living. Yeah. It's just the people that are watching that person make a living have to have their wits about them and the wherewithal to say, that seems like a lot of money, you know.
Yep. I understand. All right. I thank you for the time. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. So my point is this. Why bother making or passing ordinances or making rules, making regulations, if you're not going to enforce them and if you're not going to stand by them? You know, why waste everybody's time doing it? You put these things in place because it's a due diligence of operating a business so that there's accountability, so that there's a level playing field amongst the different vendors that are bidding. I'm not talking about a $5.40 20-amp receptacle, who's five and who's three and who's four. I'm talking about a policy and a procedure and an ordinance or ordinances that we pass, as city council people, that we pass as committees. If you're not ready to enforce them, then why pass them? It's just a waste of everybody's time. These are things that in the business world, when we're all paying the bills out there, are an absolute requirement. There's no way anyone in the business world is going to take a bid for something unless you get two or three competitive prices for the same item. And that's what keeps you competitive. That's what keeps you profitable. That's what keeps you from having to dig into the cookie jar for a few dollars because you ran short on the last project. That's my point with these individual items. We pass these and promote these regulations and rules because we do it because it's in the best interest of the city to do so. Well, then we need to be ready to enforce them. The hourly rates here, Matt, from Energy Electric, AM Electric, and Alpha. So I need you to explain to us why you are recommending AM Electric over the other two vendors. Why do you feel that they are the cheapest? And before we answer that question, you talked about, you know, having places to go. Do we have outside people that we can go to for emergency HVAC stuff? Or do we have outside vendors for if we have a plumbing disaster on a weekend and nobody's around? Do we have outside vendors for that stuff too?
We have. Recently we awarded an HVAC bid for emergency service, on-call emergency services.
Okay.
So in following that lead, this is what I wanted to do with the electrical.
And how about for plumbing?
Plumbing, we could do it in-house with the water department, depending on it. Plumbing really isn't as huge of an issue as electrical because I can shut the water off to any building. You know what I mean? It would be a kind of a nuisance and inconvenience, but I can shut that off, you know, right at the curb stop via the Warwick Water Department.
Okay, so explain to us, why you're recommending A&M Electric as compared to the other two vendors.
Councilman, so I reviewed this bid, and you know, there's things that I'm not an expert in. This is not one of them. I sent this bid to the facilities supervisor, and he reviewed the bid and recommended A&M. He said that they were the low, like particularly the high voltage, I think it was, because Alpha doesn't do, like there's a three-phase system at the ice rink that our master electrician couldn't touch. this company, this AM Electric, provides the service that we would require with the parts.
So, I don't know, maybe somebody can, you know, show me a different math than what I'm doing. You just spoke about a master electrician for high voltage. What I'm looking at here is Energy Electric, whose rate is $87 an hour, and AM is $99 an hour. This is for the specific item you just referenced. I'm looking at overtime Monday through Friday. Energy Electric, 110, A&M, 130. Seems to me Energy Electric is 110 is cheaper than 130. Saturday, Sunday, and holidays, 145 versus 150. Emergency call response. Energy Electric is 115, where A&M is 99. But on the other four, there's a significant difference there. So I don't see how in that category or in the first category, master electrician, low, medium voltage, I don't see how A&M is the best deal for the taxpayers when their A&M's hourly rate is 99 and Energy is 87. Overtime Monday through Friday, A&M 130, Energy Electric 110. Sundays holidays, A&M 150. The other 145. It seems on the emergency call response, that's the only place where Energy Electric is a bit higher than A&M. So how do you come to the conclusion that A&M is a better deal for the taxpayers when they're more expensive on just about every single item except that one item, emergency call response? How are they the better deal?
Well, I'll be perfectly honest with you. I don't know anything about electricity. I can see the rates as you have. I'm relying on information that was in the bid that my building maintenance supervisor, who has 40 plus years experience now, can process, and that was a recommendation to me. I'm not inclined, especially when it comes to electrical, to speak about something I don't know about. I have an email from him. It says,
hold on, let me comment on what you just said, Matt.
Yeah.
So I don't know anything about electrical either, but I do know a little bit about running a business, and I do know a little bit about numbers, and I know a little bit about math. I don't know anything about electric. Plug it in, it either runs or it doesn't run.
Exactly.
And I'll probably get electrocuted doing it. But what I do know is numbers. And these numbers tell me that A&M is not a better deal for the taxpayers than Energy Electric. I mean, the numbers are there. The numbers don't lie. So I don't understand how anyone can say A&M is a better deal for the taxpayers. I don't get it.
I'm not sure. I mean, I'm to be honest with you, I'm not sure. Just only because I can see the numbers as you can, I just don't have a good understanding in the concept, so I'm relying on my building maintenance supervisor. Maybe there was something in conversation or in, you know, work performance that they've had in the past. I'm not even sure. I don't even want to speculate, but this gentleman is in charge of all the buildings, and he recommended this particular vendor. So at some point, if I don't know it, if you want to build a road, I'm your guy. If you want to put in pipe, I'm your guy. But I have to know what I know, and I'm willing to admit that I don't know. So if you
Matt,
want to table
I'm not it, arguing with yep. you about knowing or not knowing about electric. What I'm arguing with you about is the checkbook.
Right.
And our job is to protect the
Correct.
Checkbook. And I don't see a business decision coming across going with A&M when just about every single item they are higher on. So I've got this issue here. I got two issues. I've got the parts from a conceptual standpoint. It's not a nickel dime thing on a $5.40 amp. It's about a competitive bid, and it's about keeping the playing field even. And you know the parts. Your guy you're talking about He'll know all the pots. He'll know these things, you know, that break. I mean, we only have so many electrical appliances throughout this city. It's not a big difficult thing to come up with a discount, or I should say with a list of pots. But it's from a conceptual point of view. And what we've asked for is that a list of 20 pots be sent out to the vendors, the same list. Not, well, you come up with your list, and you come up with your list, and this one comes up with their list, and whatever it is, it is. That was not the intent of what the committee had said. So we have that item. And we have now, we have this significant discrepancy in the numbers. And we have a bid coming before us saying, we want you to award A&M Electric to us because they're a better deal. I don't see how they're a better deal. I don't have any clue where they are on pots, and I certainly have a good idea where they are on the rates. So perhaps I might suggest that maybe we hold this until the next meeting, and then you can go back and you can get us some list prices that can compare, and we can get an explanation as to why A&M is a better deal than Energy Electric. And if that, and I'm not speaking for anyone else, I'm speaking for me. If this better deal can be presented to me, then I'll support it.
Okay.
Sir.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Chrissy, you brought up, or Director, you brought up an interesting point. The first thing I wrote is, did bid specify high voltage? Because when it was brought up, when you went to your person in-house and said, hey, please review this, tell me, they said, oh, well, they deal with high voltage. But I do see that one of the bids is a high voltage master electrician. So, again, that kind of goes, so that was obviously included in the bid process.
Right.
So, your person, I understand and I respect the fact you go to your person and say, hey, which one would you count on more? I'm just, so at first, my immediate response was, well, was that put in there? And it looks like it was. So then that's where I can see Alpha is eliminated, but there's still the other two where, again, for that person, for your person to say, well, they handle high voltage, it looks like so does the Energy Electric. That's point one, and I understand that the discussion just had. The second part is there a response time requirement in the bid?
Yeah, within 24 hours, I believe that's...
I'm sorry, I can't hear you.
I believe we put 24 hours within the bid so that we wouldn't overtax our generators. I think it's... Yeah.
Oh, so what I'm asking is, so let's say you make the phone call to the company, they have 24 hours, that's what you're thinking,
to respond? I want to say it's less than that, but off the top of my head,
okay.
I'm not. I'll send you exactly the specs.
All right, thank you. And the final thing is, I need clarification. I'm sorry, Mr. Chairman, I need clarification. I do absolutely believe in enforcing ordinances. It was my understanding that when they submit that, it's what they go to the vendor and they say, give us your 10 most common used parts. That was my understanding of it. So in the ordinance, it specifically says we give them the list of the parts that we want?
Councilman, there isn't a specific ordinance that pertains to that. This was a policy that this committee set up, and the policy was, and it was with the agreeance of the director standing right in front of us, that DPW would provide a list of 20 to 25, if we're going to get real technical here tonight, 20 to 25 pots that they most commonly use. A vendor has no clue what pots DPW uses in their trucks. Sometimes they don't even know what switches, electric, plugs, pipes, whatever. We know. They know. Our department heads, they know what their 20 most commonly used pots are, whether it be for plows or blades or trucks, etc. That was the agreement that we have. Do I have that wrong, Director, or is that correct?
You have it right, Council.
Thank you.
I was just looking for clarification, Mr. Chairman. I wasn't questioning that.
If you have a question on it, then maybe other folks have a question on it. So now the question is cleared up. It is the 20 most common pots that DPW uses, police department uses, fire department uses, whoever they use, because they know what pots they use. And then the vendors can never question whether or not is this a level playing field? Are we all bidding on the same thing? Or is one person bidding apples and the other is bidding oranges? Because I personally am getting tired of hearing the same stuff from vendors when I make the phone calls. Go through my book. You'll see phone numbers in the book. And that's what we're hearing. And we've worked really hard for the last 3 years to get this thing corrected and change these procedures. So you want more people bidding, then level the playing field. I can tell you in my business, I stopped bidding many times because the playing field is not level. So I'm not going to bid for an orange if I'm looking at an apple. Sir.
Thank you.
Director, you are in agreement. We'll hold this till the next meeting. And we'll take a look at those pots.
If I may make one comment.
Sir.
I'm in total agreement for the 20 most commonly used parts. But again, it seems unfortunate that the last meeting I couldn't provide that. And I'm trying to remember what the bid was. I just had no way of knowing, or nor did anybody, which I feel in this instance, there isn't 20 common denominator type of parts in this electrical system. Looking around at all the different buildings. So with that being said, would you like me to go with an electrician into a building and just say, is that three-phase monitor with a SCADA system, is that common? Or at what point do you say, well, Matt and his people are going to review anything that's been used? If you want truck parts, I've been working on that. I'm going to have all the truck parts. It'll make it easy. All the plow parts, all this stuff. Sometimes, in my opinion, you just can't provide that. And whatever information I would provide at that point wouldn't be what you were asking for. It would just be 20 parts.
That you use.
That we could potentially use.
Or you have used. Not potentially used. Have used.
Right. So, but how do you do it with the line voltage that's so great that our electrician can't use it? If it's small stuff, circuit breakers, panels, things like that, I most certainly could provide that for you. But I don't think that's what you're looking for. You're looking for the higher voltage, 20 different parts.
I didn't say higher voltage. You said higher voltage.
I said high voltage because our
electric. Let me give you an example what I'm looking for.
Sure.
This is like really simple. So on Energy Electric's pots list that they put together, these are commonly used components in electrical work.
Right.
A GCFI, 20-amp outlet.
Right.
Simple. I know you use a bunch of them. A 4-lamp T8 ballast. I know we use a whole pile of those babies. A weatherproof I1S box. We use a bunch of them. 30-amp safety switches. We use a pile of those rascals. How about 12-3 MC, 100-foot coil wires. Mm-hmm. We use a whole pile of that rascal. 12.2. That's what I'm saying. I'm not looking to build a spaceship here. I'm not looking to create some rocket science project. I'm saying these are 20 commonly used items. A photocell. We use a photocell. 24-hour mechanical time clock. Really? Do we need a bid on a number for a 24-hour mechanical time clock? I don't think so. Maybe you do, but I don't think so. That's what I'm saying. I'm not trying to make this difficult that I'm expecting you or anyone else to go through a building and trying to anticipate what's going on. I'm saying, I'm not an electrician, but I know what a light switch is, and I know what a wire is, and I know what caps are and all this other kind of stuff. And those are the things that are most commonly used in your department. Just like you know snow blades and you know plows and trucks, et cetera, et cetera. That's what I'm not looking to make this no big complicated project, but I'm looking for something that I personally can hang my hat on if a vendor questions whether or not the playing field is level. And are we bidding apples to apples or apples to oranges? And I think that is a responsible business approach to take. So I'm gonna make a motion to hold this till the next meeting. I'm going to be asking for 20 pots, and most importantly is why this differential is in the hourly rate. So I make a motion to hold until, what's the next meeting?
October 21st.
To October 21st.
PCR 151.19.
I have a motion. I have a second.
Second.
I have a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.